Welcome to everybody for the second workshop meeting on the architecture and API. So, Todd, are you here?
No, looks like.
But, and Leo isn't here yet?
Yes, Leo is here. Yeah, if you look at the, you're on the chat board.
30 minutes. Oh, you're in the chat board. Okay.
Yeah, you're on the chat board. You can see the people there. We have Leo, Terry Longstreth, Mike Dean, Tim Dar, and Peter Yim also.
Okay, great. So the, as a result of the first meeting, we made a few changes to the architecture. In addition, I was asked to give some explanation of what I had in mind for the workflow component, and I have now posted that in, if you go to 2PQH, okay, on the meeting page, 2PQH. If you open that, you'll see actually the pilot page paper explaining the gatekeeping workflow management strategy that I developed, well, my student and I developed. It's a, it's actually a prototype system that, it's ready to be integrated into the OOR sandbox. So that hopefully that'll explain what I had in mind by this particular component. All right, so everybody's up to speed on that. The next big topic is to start looking at the API in more detail. There are two ways in which this is, which the straw man proposal is specified. Right? Actually, sorry, not the straw man. This is the existing sandbox interface. Those are listed in 2PK7. And 2PK8. One of them is expressed in WSDL and the other is expressed in Java. So if you can open up one of those two, then you can see the basis for the discussion regarding these.
Can't hear you.
Can't hear me?
Were you speaking just now?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I was just waiting. Hopefully everybody is now looking at the same thing. This is the API as it exists today for the sandbox. And it is, if you look at the Java version of it, it's divided up into sections. So there's one section on search and navigation within one ontology, differences between ontologies, generation of RDF, notification and subscriptions, administration, evaluations and metrics, ontology development, find ontologies, ontology registration. So this is what we have right now. So the question is, to what extent does that satisfy our needs? in the OR, and in what ways do we feel that it should be enhanced or changed in some way? So this is the API. The question is, what should we do with it? So let me open the floor to suggestions. Should we go through this one section at a time? Does anyone have any particular issues? Mike, you've perhaps been involved in this more than anyone else.
I've got a little delay. I haven't got the screen up yet, but I will do that in a moment.
If my computer comes back. Okay. Yeah, maybe by section then, you know, with search starting.
So begin with search. That's a collection of quite a few methods here. Some 18 methods. So you can see there are a variety of find root paths, find siblings, find leaves, find all concepts. So one question would be, couldn't we handle that all with just a single query language rather than have multiple separate methods for each of these?
Well, probably so, but I mean, you'd have to define it, right? Unless you use something like Sparkle, for example.
What if you don't want it to assume Sparkle?
Well, I don't know. I mean, because there, at a certain point, there's going to be common logic too, right?
That's correct.
Well, I think there's potentially a difference between the representation of the metadata and the representation of the content. So one could make a decision to represent all of the metadata in RDF. Right.
Yes, but this is within one ontology, so it's not at that level.
Right, but the query language is likely to be over the metadata primarily, right?
Well, that's a good point. But right now we're in the section that is concerned with looking within an ontology. There's a later section for the metadata. Should we move to that other section first, or should we?
Well, I mean, yeah. Mike is getting at you all these things that you're retrieving, initially probably you retrieve metadata, and then you retrieve the instances, right? Is that what you think, Mike?
Yes, yeah.
All right, well, the section on that is farther down. Find ontologies, that's the second last section of the API. And there's quite a variety there. Now, that we could assume is in, say, RDF, and we could use Sparkle.
Well, working within one ontology, you could imagine that you retrieved whatever ontology you're interested in via Sparkle, for example, right? And now, would you use something different when you navigate within that ontology?
Yeah.
Well, it conceivably, I mean, the API right now does distinguish them. There's no reason why they have to be the same.
Thank you.
And, you know, it's conceivable that we would also have queries that are, we could support something more like an information retrieval query rather than a Sparkle query.
Yeah, well, that's true, too, yep.
And I don't think it actually supports that right now. I think... It seems to be more just variations on things you could see in Sparkle.
Yeah, well, I think that a lot of engines, at least, really enhance Sparkle. So maybe one of the questions is, do you keep a Sparkle core? I don't know the answer to that.
Why focus on Sparkle? Who cares about that at this point?
Well,
no, we're just throwing out comments, right.
Oh. These are comments. We're right now looking at the API.
Here.
Hello?
Yes, where are you looking at the API?
At the second last section, find ontology. This is in the Java version.
Oh. I'll go there.
If you go there, you'll
are you,
see...
The O-O-R-I Java?
Yeah, that's 2PK8.
Got it.
So the comment, I think that's Todd, right? Why not use Sparkle for some of these, for find? And then Mike had a comment that, you know, essentially you're after initially the metadata, which is what you could use Sparkle for, and then you're going to, then you're going to find instance level data. Because the other comment was that, you know, at some point we're going to support common logic.
Text and whatever else comes along that's appropriate.
Yep.
Again, what are the method calls? What actually implements the method I don't really care about? We don't care about.
Well, Todd, the question here is that some of these methods take a query argument, and which presumably, I guess it's not quite clear to us what the form of that query is.
Okay, but I would first suggest identify what those methods are, and then we make a second pass to identify some language-independent mechanisms, if there are some. Now, if they have to be language-dependent, then we specify that also. But first, what are those methods, and if you like, what's the workflow? And I believe everyone might, from what I heard and what's been discussed previously, is that there's sort of a two-step process. You first want to get some metadata back about the thingy. Then you decide what you really want, and then you can get the actual content itself. Is that correct?
Yes, that sounds right.
Okay.
So we're looking first at the issue of finding the ontology.
Right.
And then
I think I indicated in the diagrams I made, I'm not sure what's in this file, that you can either look across all representation languages that the repository supports or just a particular one.
Well, presumably that would be in the metadata.
What would be in the metadata now?
What representation language you have. So
yeah, of course.
More criteria.
No, the point is, if you're a user, you come up to the UI and you say, oh, I want an ontology on beans, growing beans. Do I want to specify a particular language? Well, actually, probably, yes. But on the other hand, maybe I just want to understand what has been represented and, do some mapping or translation based on what I find is the best representation. I might want to look across all possible languages that are in the repository or in other repositories that are federated with it.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable.
Okay, so that would necessarily then require this two-step process, as I've heard identified. You're going to go out and search through the metadata to see what meets the criteria, throw back those results to the user, and they're going to say, oh, yeah, okay, that looks promising. I'll look at that one, but not those, or something like that. and then they would get back the actual content and start to have trolling through it. Now, the issue of how you actually troll through the particular ontologies may be language representation dependent. You know, you can get back the ASCII code for it or Unicode and pick it up and let people look at it, but I'm not clear yet as to if there are particular processes you have to go through to actually look through or do some sort of a simple-minded analysis on the ontologies themselves, i.e. where you might invoke the particular inferencing engine of that representation language.
Right, but I think we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. Let's look right now at just this first step of finding the ontologies.
Okay.
And do you see the API that exists today?
It's OORI-1.java.
Right.
I'm looking at the file.
Yeah, look near the bottom. It says find ontologies.
Find ontologies. Okay, I found the comment. Yes.
And that is the current API.
Ken.
Yes.
Ken, again, before we even go to that level of detail, I still, if we could cover that same question I asked last week, which Todd says, there is already, covered, but I don't quite get how it's being covered. My question is, since we are a volunteer group, so we actually have not a lot of control over the progress, but that the BioPortal people are paid and have people working full time on that, how could we make sure that we could leverage on their progress? Let's say if we change our API or do anything, and they made a new release, how can we benefit from the new release, whether it's things were debugged or features added or anything? So I'm back to architecture. I mean, I'm sorry, I know you've progressed to API, but could we answer that architecture question, or maybe Todd, I mean, you said that's covered. How do you see that being covered?
Now, what being covered? The find methods or this process?
No, backward compatibility with BioPortal.
BioPortal? Is that correct?
It is, actually.
Compatibility with BioPortal?
Yes.
Can I address that?
Please.
If you look at the architecture we have right now,
mm-hmm.
that we discussed last time and that Todd has updated, it is compatible with the sandbox. I don't see this an issue.
I think the question you're raising, Peter, is important from a political perspective and, of course, the very...
I think it's political. It's important both from a political perspective and a pragmatic perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Understood.
Yeah.
So my comment would be that if we are going to diverge greatly from BioPortal, the A have to show them a path how to move towards what we think is the best way. But more importantly, we have to demonstrate very clearly and explicitly why we think this is the most appropriate and best way to go.
I mean,
but
independent of whether they're going to buy into our change, my question actually wasn't that. My question is, if we don't do anything, at least this project progresses as BioPortal progresses. If we divert, then there's a question whether or not we are actually doing better than before, than not doing anything. So my question is, I mean, if there's a way whereby we could be backward compatible and we could be doing improvements on the side that we can send back to them if they want. If they don't want, I mean, we can keep our improvements. That would be best. I mean, that would be sort of ideal. I don't know if that's achievable. That was my question is, I mean, can we do that?
Well, I think if I can translate, you're talking about not just the architecture, but the API. Because if you could use directly the BioPortal API, then we could just enhance that with our own particulars, right?
Possibly.
Well, I mean, that's an issue. I mean, so you would get a lot more traction because you're just using what they're using. But, you know, you're not, what you're doing is you're throwing away your own abstraction, at least to a certain extent.
Okay, I don't see that there's an issue here that we need to think about right now.
But in any case, Ken, I think you're the best person to can provide some more quantitative evaluation of this, since you've spent a lot of time trolling through the BioPortal code and might be able to recognize any difficulties that the BioPortal people might have in adopting what we're suggesting.
I almost know for sure they're not going to adopt what we are suggesting until we have work to show. That's not even the point. And let's not even worry about their adopting our proposals. My question is more about what would the OOR platform be, let's say, 2 months from now when BioPortal made 2 new releases in between, and where would we be? Where would, let's say, the OR public instance be running? What would the OR public instance be running?
Well, I think we'll be behind them for sure, because as you pointed out, we don't have enough warm bodies. Unless we can get some more faculty members involved and get their students doing some more work for us. So there's going to be a lag. I don't see another way around it.
But I guess the point is the length of that lag.
And there's no guarantee that we could even catch up or exceed their position. Then maybe, I mean, if we work smartly, if there's some way we could continue to leverage on their continued improvement while doing our improvement on the side, I think that would be a good strategy.
Yes, so we'll just have to see how they change. Are they going to make, you know, as Ken has pointed out, a lot of their workflow and their relationships among the processes, that's the business processes, are embedded in their code. A lot of people do that nowadays, unfortunately, and it's hard to find out what they're really doing. Whether they will take our, I don't know, suggestions about making things more explicit, I don't know. If they make things more explicit, then it'll be a lot easier. If they go along their current way, which is probably the way they're going to go, then I don't know. I don't know if they'll be able to do much.
All right. Okay, let me explain my point of view a little bit. If we focus on the subset of the API that we feel is essential, and then we will continue to be compatible with them, with BioPortal. We can continue to make use of any of their enhancements. And if we put a workflow module in on top of, put the workflow module on top of the core service that we have now, it, again, would be completely compatible with anything that they do at BioPortal. So as long as we remain modular and we make use of features that already exist, then we're completely compatible with everything they're doing.
Completely compatible meaning, let's say they're on revision level 2.6, and next week they release a 2.7, then our API just sort of our modular piece would add to 2.7 instead of 2.6. Is that the way
again,
you see it?
Our API is for a module that then makes use of their core. See, so our API does not have to be the same. If they change their API, all we do is modify our other components to make use of their new API. It doesn't, you know, we still make use of all of their functionality. We're just putting a facade in front of it.
Okay, is this our approach? I'm not a developer, but I want some sort of clarification that this is going to be our approach, is that we will always be sort of floating on top of their continued improvement rather than actually staying behind and developing our own thing.
So we're basically proposing a facade. That's a standard thing to do with legacy systems. Right? Do you agree with that, Todd?
Yes, until you can afford to do something, or something comes along that forces you to do something completely radically different. And usually the reason you go with that approach is because you can't afford to refix everything.
And I think that's our case.
Pardon?
That is the case for us. We don't have the personnel to redo everything they've done.
Apparently we have to go out and round up some more students somewhere.
Yeah, there's no way we could possibly compete with them in that respect.
I still think we should try and endeavor to develop the APIs in the most logical fashion. Again, one of the big distinctions here is that, BioPortal is not worried about other representation languages at this point. Now, that may change in the future, which would give us more leverage and make our stuff look more appealing. But right now, if they're going to go down the route of a single representation language, then we're always going to run into issues. But have we discussed that subject enough, Peter?
I think we've exhausted that. I think the attitude of taking this facade approach will deal with the issues that you raised.
Okay, can we document that so that at least that's a guiding principle that we're developing our architecture and API onwards from here, so that we don't have to revisit this this discussion again.
Yes, that's probably advisable.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
Well, that's one of those things we put up and see if anyone has comments on, and if no one complains greatly, then we adopt it in a couple of weeks or something like that.
Or supposedly we document it here and we publish our meeting proceedings, and supposedly if nobody argues, then this is sort of one of the guiding principles.
Right.
I'll let Ken write this down for us on the chat if you would please. Because you would know the right language to do it.
I want to get back to these fine methods because some of them I'm confused about.
Just as soon as I finish the chat, okay.
Yes, I think Terry, thank you for bringing that up, yes.
Terry brought up this point.
I'll have to get Terry out.
I wrote something there. Let me think that expresses this principle.
Ken?
So let's see, Tim Dar asked about the status of the forked BioPortal code. What we have done is to I downloaded the BioPortal code, the latest tags for each of the components, and they are now available on the SemWeb Central. Um, There is a document that describes the bioportal architecture. Peter, perhaps you, is there a link to that on the meeting page?
What? To the SEMWeb Central?
The bioportal architecture.
Okay, so you talk about bioportal architecture. Hang on just a moment.
All right, so anyway, the difficulty with there is this bioportal architecture picture that they've been using in the talks they give. The difficulty I have is that when I actually look at the code, it doesn't bear much resemblance to that architecture. It is wishful thinking, basically, on their part that this is what their architecture is. I can assure you, if you look at the code, you won't find it either. You won't find that architecture either.
If I understand them correctly, that's sort of what they want to get towards, like our architecture is what we want to get towards, rather than what is a documentation of their current code. I understand, they are actually implementing one piece, more and more pieces of that architecture as things are moving forward.
Okay, so, like I say, it's wishful thinking. They're hoping that someday it will look like that. However, the way the system is set up right now, it isn't in a form that would be very easy to change into the architecture.
Yeah. For example,
this would be a massive reprogramming effort in order to achieve that architecture.
Yeah. If people are looking at that architecture diagram, for example, they didn't have this interface tier before, and now they're implementing this ACEGI security framework in the interface layer, which I think is new, which would be an important update that's coming out fairly soon. That's why, one of my concerns is if we move forward and if we really fork the way forks usually do, then we are left behind when they have like full-time people making huge progress. So that was my concern before. But
yeah,
I'm glad we have this guiding principle now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So that said, it gives us some freedom to be more flexible about what our API is, so long as it can be expressed in terms of what's in the bioportal sandbox right now. And if you look in the find ontologies, one of the methods is search ontology metadata, where you pass in a query.
Ken, question about those. Are these methods that you put in this file pulled directly out of BioPortal?
Yes.
Ah, okay. Do you understand them?
Most of them. It's hard to go through the code and figure out what exactly these things are doing.
So now, I'm sorry, it dawned on me. I'm looking at this first method that says find all categories. And they actually have a way to categorize ontologies in the BioPortal, correct?
No.
Again?
Categories is just a fixed list that they have in their database.
That's what occurred to me. Okay, I'm sorry.
It's not doing any kind of categorization.
I forgot that context. I guess we have to take these and map them into what we think should be provided.
Yeah, like I say, it's easy enough to change that list of categories. It's just something they put in there in the database.
Right. Just because BioPortal has it doesn't mean we have to support it.
Right. We don't have to support everything that's here. What Peter's saying, that we just have to make sure that whatever we have is supported by what they have.
Right.
So we can have a subset.
That seems feasible. Now,
I can't really have a
modification to your proposal for the principle. that board?
Yes. Did you post the modification?
Yes. A little more ambiguous, shall we say.
Yeah, that's fine.
I mean, that covers what the intent is. Probably.
That covers the intent. Very good. All right, so...
Where are we?
So it seems to me that the only really essential method in the find ontology section is the search ontology metadata.
From BioPortal.
Yeah.
Okay, I got to keep this straight as to what we're recommending we do for OOR and what BioPortal is currently doing.
All right, so if you have a search ontology metadata, then presumably everything else could in some sense be expressed in terms of that.
Yeah, you can map to that in some fashion. Okay, we're assuming that we have a uniform metadata representation in the OOR. Is that correct?
Yeah, we expect to have an extension of OMD.
Okay, that's right. Make a note of that. I have the model in the background here. I wanted to make changes as we went along.
So the metadata that they maintain in BioPortal isn't quite the same as OMV, but it should be mapped. One can map to it. So it shouldn't be an issue that they have a somewhat different metadata ontology. Yeah, looking through that, does anybody else see any method in that group of find ontologies that we really need beyond just find, just search ontology metadata?
And in your first time to ontology metadata?
It really looks like everything else is just a special case of that.
Really? So, yeah, this is one of the standard problems I see in a lot of programming. They want to specialize the method call. I modify the method call by specializing a previous method call by modifying the arguments rather than providing some variable argument mechanism that would simplify the method call representation.
Right.
Parameters, they're different methods. Loading has a problem.
Well, you know, you have to understand where they're coming from. The their API was driven by the UI.
Yeah, I understand.
Rather than by requirements. They simply have a UI. When they add a new feature to the UI, they add a new method
kind of
to their API. To support it.
I've always done something like that myself in the past. That's why I know better now.
Yeah. So it doesn't seem to be any objection to just having just that single method, search ontology metadata. In fact, I'm not even sure what include views means. Let's see. Oh, yeah, right. It's have a concept of a view of an ontology. And
is that a presentation issue, or is that something more?
It's different representation languages.
I think it's just representation, yeah.
So you can have an owl view and a common logic view, for example.
Oh, really?
Well,
yeah.
Not common logic, but multiple views with same ontology. Multiple.
Again, I'm not sure what you mean by a view.
Well, that's the term that they use. Essentially, I mean, at one level, it's multiple files using different representation languages. So if you translate an ontology, you could upload it as a new view.
So they are supporting different representation languages?
A small set, yes. So, for instance, they've got Oboe and OWL.
Oh, that's true, that's true.
And the LexGrid thing.
Right. So that's all that is. It's purely representational, so I don't think we really need to say that. Because the metadata would be associated with the ontology, or actually the ontology version, not the view.
So, Ken, what are the fine methods that OOR would support? That is the facade on top of the
Well, that's the question, and I.
Title portal.
And it seems to me the search ontology metadata is all we need.
Well, no, but again, I'm thinking from the user perspective. They see the screen in front of them. What are the actions that they're allowed to take?
Oh, now you're in the UI?
Well, no, this gets to process and gets back to the trying to understand what are the methods that need to be specified for OOR. But again, I am taking a user perspective. I don't care about developers at this point, and just any developers online. Again, I want to clearly identify what are the APIs and hence the methods that are going to be used. The methods have to have some correspondence to the processes that people use. Now, those processes could get broken down, of course, because you have to do other stuff once you get through implementation. But what are the, from a simple-minded perspective now, I do like comic books, what are those high-level methods? I mean, logically, there are other things you have to do, but what's at the top of the chain there?
And I would contend that all we need is that one method.
Which is?
Search ontology metadata.
Okay.
Because everything else can be expressed in terms of it. And if we simplify the interface, it makes it a whole lot easier for there to be other implementations of the OOR.
Ken, could you document this one statement? Because that's important for the notes.
So I'm looking at it both from the user standpoint, because simpler APIs tend to be easier to use, and also from the developer standpoint, simpler API means that it's easier to have more implementations. And at this point, Sparkle is pretty well accepted.
I don't want to hear about things like that. Oh, I know.
What?
I don't want to hear about the how you do things. What is it doing?
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
That's okay. I understand. We don't want it to devolve into discussion.
All right. So.
I'm sort of leaning to your position, Ken. From an API perspective, maybe this is the one that's most relevant.
So the agreement, the consensus right now is to have a single search ontology metadata method that has a single parameter query. Question, there is, I'm leaving open the question of what language that query is in. And returns a list of matching.
Well, wouldn't that parameter be based on the OMG representation or whatever extension of it we use?
Well, the ontology will be OMG, right?
Okay, so then any parameters that this method would require would have to come from that. And hence the ontology itself becomes the parameter, if you like, or an instance of that ontology.
Well, we have it's query language for this one ontology.
Say again?
It's a query language for that ontology. I don't know that there are query languages specific to individual ontologies.
So you lost me, Ken.
Huh?
You lost me. So search ontology metadata. Metadata is going to be represented by OMV or an extension thereof, correct?
Right.
So if you're going to search it, you need to use the parameters in that ontology. Hence, it would appear that the method parameter should be an instance of that ontology.
No, I was thinking more in terms of something like Sparkle, and you're searching like an RDF graph, the RDF graph consisting of all the ontology metadata of all ontologies. And so you're just asking for matches to, it's essentially a series of match criteria.
Right. So those criteria based on what's in the OMV ontology. No?
Yes, the criteria depend on the ontology. Correct. But not the ontology language. So these are just, you're basically passing in a bunch of match criteria.
Right. But I would suggest that could be done just as an instance of the OMV ontology. Okay, but as long as we agree that it's based on the...
Yeah, actually, it's basically what you're doing with kind of wildcards.
Right. Well, how you interpret the fields in the particular instance is something else. And that's where you get into translating into a particular Sparkle query.
Sparkle is a lot more complex than that. But
I understand.
It's essentially just match criteria.
Right, but I don't want to get into this crazy thing where they did in BioPortal where they have this bazillion or, you know, several half a dozen different method calls with just varying the parameters.
Yeah.
Progress.
Okay. Oh, man. That is great progress. Now, what's the next section we should look at? Who suggests another section? I don't think we could really deal with the search and navigation within one ontology.
Well, administration's pretty big, right? So,
well,
administration, good.
Well, this gets back to the point I was emailing you about, Ken, in terms of, let me get the right key here, a lot of what I heard last week was that, you know, particular administration, much of what goes on in administration is covered by workflow. And at this point, when I hear the term workflow, I'm thinking of a how as opposed to a what.
Now, I sort of agree with Todd that we probably need to break down workflow a little bit more to be clear.
So we can start with administration, because if I remember properly, Ken, you said a lot of what goes on for administration is a workflow, or it falls into this box of workflow.
Yes, I'll agree with that. There is the workflow prototype, and I posted the paper on that.
Right.
It actually has an API.
Administration?
It is a full prototype, and it includes administration. It's based on ISO 11179.
Oh, you would say a standard, just throw it in our face like that. I saw it go by yesterday, but I was suffering through the joys of Microsoft operating system. So.
So the truth is that we could just use the API that I have the workflow for administration, and we wouldn't actually need need to match this one. Now, everything is done in the workflow, which is mapped to these methods.
I'm trying to open your paper real fast so I can find them.
Now, there are two aspects of the administration. One of them is the managing the users and their responsibilities and roles. The other one is just low-level issues such as parsing ontologies.
Well, is that part of administration?
I put these into the administration just because those are all just administrative type things. But they're really two different levels of administration.
Well, then, what does the registration process do?
Not registration, administration.
Oh, I know, I heard you. But I said, when you talked about parsing ontologies, why do you want to parse an ontology?
Oh, ontologies take a long time to parse.
I understand.
And so these appear to be just methods for, handling this in the background.
But again, why are you parsing an ontology?
So is this maybe session startup?
So you parse the ontology when it is submitted.
Aha, so that's part of the registration process.
That's to check that the ontology is valid.
Okay, well, I guess my point is, why are you putting that particular process as part of administration when you just said it's part of registration?
It's because it's running in the background, and, sometimes it fails and you have to run it again.
Well, if the process is part of registration, now what you're talking about is something down in terms of implementation details. Who's going to monitor all these things running around going on?
Yeah, I'm talking about the low-level implementation details. That seems to be what's going on. So there's two different levels, the low-level implementation details that the system administrator's handling, and the high-level registration issues.
Okay.
So they're quite different.
Yes. Could I suggest we defer these implementation issues, which I realize are crucial, but may push us in the wrong direction?
I agree. The difficulty is that the API right now mixes them up. They're really all at the same level.
Yeah, I can believe that. But again, if we just focus on the OR right now,
let's not look at administration. And actually, we're running out of time.
Okay.
Peter said we have to stop.
Yes.
Before 10 o'clock.
Maybe a couple of minutes before. But one other suggestion I might make, in terms of establishing an API, is to use it as a way to help us spin off sub-projects that various groups can take on and start developing and contribute. I mean, that would be very very practical.
Mm-hmm.
If we start defining the modules and the APIs, not because it's sort of an SDLC process, but rather as a means that, let's say, Colore can go off and start doing things, or Yuri can start doing things, and maybe five of your students can start doing five different things. That would be extremely helpful.
Well, I think, Peter, once we have more of the API specified, that'll become more apparent what we could spin off.
That's fine.
We have our first step.
Yep.
So my suggestion or question would be, what do we want to address next Friday? Let's identify that now so we can think about it, hopefully.
Yeah, I think Terry has a couple of very, very good posts on the chat, and we could try to address some of those.
So do we want to work on the next week?
We can't have a meeting next week, right? Because
next week is metadata, which is extremely important and folds well in this as well. So we got the next. Hi, Steve.
Okay.
we're quitting fairly soon. So week after next.
You're already starting here.
For the next meeting, what is the subject that we'll consider? Pick one. Mike?
Yeah, pick one.
Leo?
Leo, do you have an idea?
You mean for next week?
No, the week after next. Next week is metadata.
Okay, yeah, because I'm not sure if I could attend next week. Well, yeah, I guess if there's content in this workflow that we haven't addressed in more detail, maybe that's important too.
Okay, so we have to break down workflow?
Well, that's a suggestion. And I think Ken already has that.
Yeah, I could certainly post the API that the workflow service has right now. It's one that I developed.
Okay, so we'll agree that at the next meeting, whenever, we will focus on workflow, that block, and decompose it based on what Ken has already provided for us and done.
Okay, great. That sounds like a plan.
Whoa, are we in trouble or what? Okay.
Okay, so the meeting has to adjourn now.
Okay.
And I hope to see all of you in 2 weeks.
Okay, thanks, folks.
Oh, thanks.
Peter.
Bye-bye.